Welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast, hosted by Dr. Becca Tagg. We support clinicians who have been bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, looking to strengthen their practice to better serve their clients, employees, and themselves.
Hello, and welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Becca, and I am excited, as always, to share the next bit of time with you. Today, I want to talk a little bit about self-care. And you might be thinking, good grief, Dr. Becca, talk about something else already. And I will eventually, but I will also always come back to this topic because I think it's super important. And I'm bringing up self-care because we are approaching February 2019, and we at Del Mar Center for Behavioral Health are going to be doing a group treat yourself or love yourself challenge. And we're going to be doing this in February because February is often a month where we focus on other relationships. So maybe it's our relationship with the significant other or a romantic partner, or maybe it's for Galentine's Day, it's our relationship with our friends, right? Those gals and that help us get by. But one of the most important relationships that we have is the one with ourself. We need to pour into that relationship as much, if not more, than those relationships with other people. So a reminder that self-care is anything that you do intentionally to take care of yourself. And it can be your physical health, mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, financial health, any kind of health and wellness domain that you have, self-care can be done in that area. And I struggle sometimes because self-care seems to become like a pop word or a buzzword, and people usually mean bubble baths and massages, pedicures, a glass of wine. Those things are not necessarily self-care. They might be, but if that glass of wine is your response to a stressful day and that pattern occurs over time, I'm going to gently challenge that that is not self-care and it may actually be alcohol abuse, right? That self-care in that situation may be putting boundaries in place so that you don't get so depleted in your day-to-day that you're turning to a substance to feel better. Look, I don't have anything against wine, and I want to be sure that the behaviors that we are doing are those that are going to help us stay well. And it doesn't mean that every glass of wine is a problem, nor does it mean that any massage is a problem or a pedicure is a problem or a chocolate cookie is a problem. Those things may be components of self-care, and they might not be, right? Remember, we're behavior analysts, so topography is less important than function. So for self-care, sometimes it's messy. Sometimes the most important self-care is messy. Self-care might be things like checking your credit score, right? That's on our Love Yourself challenge for February. Check your credit score. That takes care of your financial health. It might be something that you've put off or you haven't done, and it's an opportunity to lean into the wellness by making sure everything on there is correct. Credit is an important part of being a business owner or a leader or an adult, and so we want to be sure that that's correct. Another piece of self-care that's in our Love Yourself Challenge that you can either download from the files section of the ABA Business Builders Facebook group, or I think I also have it on my www.thebusinessofbehavior.com website. So you can get it either of those places. It's free. Download it. Use it if it's helpful or of interest. But in another place where we want to focus on wellness is setting boundaries. And setting boundaries is important because it means that you are taking care of yourself and your time. So maybe you have a friend that after you've spent time with, you actually feel worse, not better. Or maybe it's a friend who's always having a really hard time, and after you spend time with them, you're feeling tired or drained. It's okay for that to happen sometimes in relationships. And if you're finding that every interaction leaves you feeling that way, right? One data point is an outlier, or it's one data point. Three data points is a trend. Is it that multiple times after you're done being with that person or after that event is over, you're feeling worse? If yes, I would say that there needs to be some boundaries around that relationship. Setting those boundaries can be uncomfortable and is a key way to practice self-care. You're protecting your energy. It doesn't make you a bad friend. And I think that's where sometimes people talk about the easier self-care, right? The massages, the sleep mask, the, pedicures. Those things are easier self-care a lot of times. They're also consumer self-care. So they're things that you're purchasing or consuming that leave you feeling better. And that is important. That is those, look, it's important to have those things and not in the absence of those other self-care domains, like setting boundaries, emotional boundaries. Maybe it's work boundaries, right? So as a business owner, I love what I do. That also puts me at risk for working all the time. And that's not good either. All things in moderation, right? Like even water, which is a superb thing that we need. You can die from drinking too much water too quickly or in a shorter period of time. So even something as great as water or air can hurt us. So setting those boundaries protects our time, protects our resources, whether it's emotional energy, mental energy, financial resources, whatever it is, self-care is taking care of all of these domains. Self-care might be a nap. Maybe that's not an option. And so maybe self-care is not being on the phone an hour before bed or not being in bed on the phone. That is a form of self-care. It's shaping, right? This is the stuff that we know. Shaping, right? So if you can't go right to zero acts of aggression over a two-week period, we start with a smaller incremental goal. Maybe that's our long-term goal, right? Maybe my longer-term goal is to go to bed at 8 p.m., fall asleep, and get up at 6 a.m. I'm not there yet. That doesn't mean I say to hell with it and don't try. It means I find a smaller, more manageable goal that I can start with now to be moving in that direction, right? We're talking about high P and low P sequences even, right? So I know I can, well, it might be hard, but it is more likely to be done that I can go an hour before bed without being on the phone than it is for me to say I'm going to go to bed at 8 and get up at 6. We aren't there yet, right? Remember that power of yet. So self-care is that financial part, right? So I made the reference of setting goals. I made the reference of setting boundaries. I referenced checking your credit score, making sure your bills are paid, right? That has to happen. That alleviates stress in other areas when that's taken care of. It's about embedding self-care into your day-to-day so that you're never getting so depleted that you're needing to take a million days off or you're needing to revamp your entire existence, right? Just like with our kiddos, when we're teaching those self-management and self-monitoring skills, it's not because we want them to wait till they're melting down to then tell us they need a break. We usually start teaching them to recognize those precursor skills, those early indicators of them getting upset, and take a break then. So just like that, we don't want to wait till we're burnt out to practice self-care. We want to use it proactively. We want to embed it into our day-to-day so that we're never getting that far gone, right? We're not hitting a 5. We're intervening all the time so that we don't get past a 2 or a 3. So some things that I like to do during the day or some goals that I have are drinking more water. I'm not good about staying hydrated, and that's important. And that's a goal. I have this junk drawer in my bathroom where I have all kinds of makeup, and I don't wear a ton of makeup because I don't really know how to put it on. I don't know how to put it on. I don't, I'm with kids a lot of times, and yet I sort of hang on to all this makeup. So one of my goals is to get rid of that drawer. Not necessarily pull the drawer out and throw it away, although I've considered that on occasion, but I'm going to go through it. I'm going to throw away the stuff I'm not using. If I haven't used it in a couple months, I don't know. I'm sure makeup has an expiration on it I obviously don't know enough to know about it, but if I've not used it in a couple months, I don't need it. And it's interesting that this comes up around this time too, because people are really loving the sort of decluttering movement, right? And getting rid of anything that doesn't bring you joy. I think I'm kind of the opposite of that, because so much stuff brings me joy that I want to hang on to everything. So I think for me, it's about utility, that I might really like this. And if I'm not using it, it doesn't have a purpose and I haven't used it in a while, I need to get rid of it. So when I open that makeup drawer and it's all cluttery and there's all sorts of crap in it, it's a reminder that I haven't taken care of my space. It's a reminder, it's a visual cue that I have all this junk I'm hanging on to. Gonna get rid of it. That's important. That is self-care. It's anything you do intentionally to take care of you in some capacity so that you overall, that you as a whole being are in better shape. Maybe concretely, right? Better shape physically, but maybe it's also more abstract. So better shape in your mind, in your body, in your soul, in your spirit, in your relationships. We want all of those areas to be well, not just one. So self-care has a component to it where it is these maybe indulgent things, right? Because that's important. And it's also the messy stuff. I want to encourage you to lean into that messy stuff, because sometimes the messier it is, the more it's screaming for your attention. It also means that it might be more uncomfortable to address. But remember, the only way through is through. You got to lean into that discomfort to come out on the other side. That may not be comfortable, and the view on the other side is great. The payoff, the reinforcement is fantastic. And that ties back, right, into our ACT, acceptance commitment therapy, leaning into even behaviors that are hard or situations that are uncomfortable, because you know that the longer term payoff is that you're moving towards alignment with your values. That's committed action. And self-care helps us get there. Self-care is important because we are in service positions. We are in a service field, whether you are an RBT, a BCBA, an SLP, a psychologist, maybe you're a manager of a business, right? All of this means that you're taking care of other people. We can only do that when our own cup, our own sort of proverbial cup, is overflowing, and then we can serve others from our overflow. We cannot serve from an empty cup. We can't. It's like when you're on an airplane, it's a classic ACT and probably other therapeutic sort of orientations use the airplane oxygen mask analogy, right? Where the flight attendants tell you that if there's an issue and the oxygen masks come down, you got to put your mask on first. When your mask is on, then you can help somebody else get theirs. But if yours isn't, you're gasping, you're bumbling, you're not able to get, right? Maybe you've got hypoxia, there's not enough oxygen to your brain, you can't think straight, you're of no help. Get your own mask on first, then you can help others. And it's the same for us in helping professions. We got to take care of ourselves first so that we are able to serve others from our overflow. So, as always, time is one of our most valuable resources, and I appreciate those of you that are continuing to spend time with me, Dr. Becca Tagg, here on the Business of Behavior podcast. Hope that the content that we talk about is helpful, and if you have suggestions, reach out to me. Well, send a message, send me an email, post a comment, right? Whatever feels most comfortable for you. This is a resource for our community, I hope. And I want to be sure that we're talking about or touching on things that are important to everyone, and or at least a good chunk of people, right? Nothing's important to everyone. And as we're moving towards February, I think it's a great time to revisit that idea of self-care. What is it? Why do we do it? And perhaps invite you guys to join us in the Love Yourself February Challenge. I hope you have a great rest of your day.